Good morning. Please be seated. Good morning to all of you, and to those out viewing us at home, welcome. So happy Epiphany. Like many words in our English language, the definition of Epiphany has several meanings. The first definition for us Christians is that it is a festival celebrating Christ's appearance to the Gentiles, observed every year on January 6th. Also, it's known as the appearance of a god or a deity. The second, more common and modern usage is a sudden revelation. In this sense, an eureka moment that could come when you realize you're in the wrong line of work or you need to quit your job and join the circus. Now, the actions we hear in the gospel reading today certainly constitute epiphanies. All three Gospels, including Matthew that we heard this morning, mention the baptism of Jesus by John, the descent of the Holy Spirit, and the voice from heaven. Now, this is truly a trinity of eureka moments during our Christian calendar. How Episcopalian is that? Now, in fact, this reading is the first time that we see all three Holy Trinity together. The newly baptized Jesus, the Son of God descending, the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and the voice of God. Now, the first epiphany, I would suggest, is the conversation between Jesus and John, where Jesus asks John to baptize him. What? Thinks John. Me baptizing you? You should be baptizing me. Now, Jesus is pretty firm about his ask and says, let it be now. No arguing, no let's talk about it, no maybe later, now. And Jesus gives John the justification for the action as fulfilling God's plan for Jesus and for John and for all of us. Well, John certainly didn't expect this twist when he woke up. Yet he and Jesus act in accordance with God's plan. This short yet dramatic action teaches us that God doesn't always ask us to do what we expect. In this case, God is asking John to do the opposite. So let's pause and think about this and ask ourselves, is God asking us to do something that we may not expect to do? Is God asking us to do the opposite of what we expect in our lives, in our families, in our church, or in the world? That's epiphany number one. God may ask us to do the unthinkable. We've all been there. We all know what it's like. So I encourage you to think about, when has that happened to you, and what do you do when it happens? In the blog about this passage, the Reverend Mike Marsh, who is actually rector of Uvalde, Texas, asks, what do you do when your prayer is not answered, or the budget doesn't work out, or expectations are not met? What do you do when your plan doesn't come together, a relationship ends, or a life is interrupted? What do you do when it's a hard day and you just want to say no and run away? Well, today's gospel does set before us the two choices. We can either resist, forbid, try to prevent what is coming to us, which is what John initially wants to do, or we can permit it. We can say, let it be, which is what Jesus says John to do. Now, epiphany number two is the appearance of the dove. The Holy Spirit, one of my favorite images. The Spirit of God descending from the heavens in the form of a dove. A dove is an ancient symbol. A dove was the symbol of Zeus's messenger in imperial times, and in Roman times, the dove often signified the destiny of powerful people. But this concept of the Holy Spirit is one of the hardest concepts to teach many of us. Certainly, I saw that when I was teaching Sunday school. How do you describe a force that is invisible and one that provides we as believers great knowledge and great power. In the year of Yes, a book written by Shonda Rhimes, who is the creator and executive producer of Grey's Anatomy and How to Get Away with Murder, Sandra describes her own personal epiphany. On Thanksgiving Day of 2013, her sister said to her, "You never say yes to anything." And so she vowed that in 2014, it would be her year of yes. She would say yes to things that made her uncomfortable. So she moved herself away from that comfort zone and she said yes to a graduation address at her alma mater, Dartmouth. She made an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel. Never would have done that before. Her more private, personal yeses were the most powerful, however, as she reevaluated her health and her work-focused lifestyle, her relationships, especially those with her family and her three daughters. Epiphanies abounded for Chandra that year. So you're asking me, well, come on, how can we say yes to everything? Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where the dove flies down. God sent the Holy Spirit to reveal God's truth through human experience, the Bible and the witness of the church. The Holy Spirit gives each of us unique gifts and produces fruits in our lives and equips us for ministry wherever we are. So that's the second epiphany. Where might we be needing to say yes? The third is the voice of God coming down as Jesus is baptized. "You are my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The first time I remember hearing this passage as an adult, I remember thinking, wow. Imagine how that felt to Jesus. Imagine for me if my dad had stated that in front of a large gathering like this. "This is my daughter Gail, with whom I am well pleased." So on an individual level, especially in light of today's many broken families, how powerful is this statement between a dad or a mom and a son or a daughter? And yet, this isn't just an ordinary dad or son that we hear about today. This is God proclaiming to Jesus and to all of us that Jesus is his son. In this act, God confirms that Jesus' identity and his commitment by sending that empowering spirit and declaring the identity of Jesus. The climax of this gospel story is not just baptism itself, but the vision and voice Jesus encounters as he comes up from this baptism. So, three epiphanies. Which one stands out for us in our lives today? Is it the act of consenting to do something we didn't imagine ourselves doing, like John did? Is it our need to accept the power and truth, like Jesus did in receiving the Holy Spirit and John saying yes? Or is it the image of God looking down at us and saying that he is well pleased? I encourage you to think those thoughts. This weekend, the governing body of St. James, the Vestry, met to review the work done, to be done this year at a meeting as we prepare the way to call a new part-time priest. Don Hamer and I co-led these sessions on Friday night and Saturday. In thoughtful discussion and prayer, we reviewed several different things. The life cycle of a church. We reviewed the new missional church tenets. We reviewed some new leadership elements of the church. And at the end of the session on Saturday, we all agreed about the excitement and the hopeful feeling we have for the future of St. James. From my standpoint, it was a great blessing to be in the room. And I just want to share something one of the other vestry members said as we wrapped up. "I wish the entire parish had been with us to feel the excitement we feel as we move forward in this process of charting our course for the future and engaging a new part-time priest in charge. So stay tuned about some of the ways that we talked about and the next steps in the year ahead. And be sure to thank all of the vestry members who have worked so hard this year as we've worked in this transition. To Debbie O'Donnell, our wonderful senior warden, to Becky Lee, to Allison Banker, to Joyce Reynolds, Mitch Chester, Rich Connell, Don Gardner, Ralph Urban, Cheryl Turner, and Bob Duggar as their faithful work as vestry leavers, and certainly to Don Hamer as our priest associate. Finally, I want to share the joint statement this week by newly elected Bishop Diocesan Jeffrey Mello and by Bishop Suffragant Laura Ahrens. They sent us all an epiphany message. We pray that in this season, you have experiences in your own lives where you seek God in unexpected places. Let it be so for all of us.